morning, and please be seated. I'm Donna Boden, and I'm the duty elder today, and I'd like to just take this time to welcome you all to Burlington East today. There are a few announcements in your bulletin. If you have 2016 envelopes, they're ready for your pickup. They are above your name out in the front there. If you've ordered a poinsettia, if you could remember to pick that up when you depart today. And I'd like to call Sarah forward because she has an announcement.
I just wanted to thank everybody very much for the generous donations to the Christian Children's Fund. We raised the most ever, over $1,600. And so not only can we sponsor our two girls over in Africa, but we can also send them Christmas, Easter, and birthday gifts. And then there was still some extra, so we chose some gifts of joy items from the catalog. And so needy people will receive some blankets, mosquito nets, clean water projects, delivery and care of a new baby, and things like that. So thank you very much. We did really well. Thanks.
And I had a couple of things that I wanted to mention this morning. First of all, we'll get our microphone set up and going much better. You'll notice in the bulletin there's mention of leading with care. It's a program policy that Presbyterian Church in Canada has had. I sent an email out earlier this week to many of you regarding this, that we would be locking the back door from 10:30 on, and so if people are late, they can come into the front door. And Bob, I forgot to lock the door on the way in this morning, so it's... yeah, so we'll be taking care of that. And part of this same program, you may notice if you're around the church tomorrow, that we're putting in some security cameras at the front door and the back door, just so that we can monitor who's coming in when for all the different groups that we have here. And again, part of our leading with care policy to make this as safe an environment that we can make it for people. So if you see service people in putting in cameras, it's not the NSA or the FBI or anything. It's it's just following that policy. So I would ask now that we take a moment to prepare our hearts for worship.
Always be glad because of the Lord. I will say it again. Be glad. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God.
In the face of difficulties, struggles, or trials, trust in God gives us staying power and perseverance. We are taught to have courage and not be dismayed. God is with us always and promises to refresh our lives with love. God's Spirit makes us loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. We light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy. Let us just pray. Come, Lord Jesus, we make you our joy complete. In changing circumstances of life, you bless us again and again. We praise you and rejoice. May all the ends of the earth see the salvation of God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you both, family. sing our first hymn of praise this morning. Joyful, 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 we adore you, number 410. Today we will be reading in Luke about John the Baptist. And as John the Baptist called his people to repent, as Jesus calls us now, we turn to the one who is both judge and savior, trusting that repentance opens the door to a new life and that peace beyond all measure has been promised to us. Let us bow our heads in prayer with our prayer of adoration and confession followed with the Lord's Prayer. Merciful God, we come into your midst longing for communion with you and you becoming one of us. Break our resistance to life with you. Show us the path toward just relations and bring us to your unimaginable peace. Lord, help us at this time to put away the scurrying around that often happens on a Sunday morning. Help us to put away maybe the harsh words spoken between two people just before getting here. Help us to put all those things away and help us to now focus on what you are calling us to do. That is to think that you are near. In your presence, Holy God, we confess that we need to repent. Repent being changing our minds, turning 180 degrees the other direction. Lord, there have been times when we have broken your commands. There have been times when we've stepped off the path that you call us to, a life that is supposed to be lived in peace with all your creation and all of your people. And we've chosen at times not to do that. Lord, but there's been times possibly in this last week that we have not necessarily trusted your word and we've been afraid. Afraid to speak, afraid to stay silent, afraid to do something or afraid not to do something. Forgive us, Lord. Restore us. Turn our shame into praise. for the sake of the one who proclaims the good news and for the sake of all the world, fill us with that joyful, joyful sound that only your Spirit, your forgiveness can give us. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name, and we now say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. John the Baptist answered them, all that were there, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this vase here, this picture, represents that baptism that we've all experienced, that forgiveness that Christ only can give us. So in the name of the one God who lives and moves among us, we are forgiven by the name of Christ. The Lord has taken away judgments against all of us. We don't need to worry. We can live in peace. We can rejoice and rejoice always. Amen. It's getting quite big in so many ways. We've got angels and wise men helping out as well. And if you didn't take notice, you know, as you're leaving today, take note of Mary and Joseph at the back on the way out. And we've got poinsettias here today that we're going to be blessing in a moment, because they're not just going to your homes in many cases, and we do want them blessed for that reason. They're also going to some shut-ins that we have, and we want that to be a joyful time for them. And one other thing you can take note, it's in the courtyard, thanks to Bob and Renata doing all the hard work and getting it cut out and painted, we have our creche scene out in the courtyard, and in the evening it will be lit up. So if you're here after sunset, you'll see a nice lit up fair out there. So lots of things to remind us, the banners that we have and the decorations around, to remind us of this Advent season. And in particularly, this Sunday is White Gift Sunday, we call it. And it dates back to 1904 in Ohio. And the wife of a Methodist minister and her two daughters came up with the idea of giving gifts wrapped in white paper at Christmas time to people in need. The gifts are wrapped in white so that they will be anonymous. People who can only give a little will also not be embarrassed. There's a Chinese tradition as well where people give their king a gift wrapped in plain white paper so that every gift would look the same. People gave the king what they were able and the king welcomed them all. White gift shares in the spirit of Christ and the God of love at this time of Christmas. We give gifts of love to people in need. These gifts, as we have here, some are wrapped in white, some are just brought in. We said either way would be fine because the intention here is that we're bringing non-perishable food items that can be distributed to people in our community and especially support the efforts from this congregation and the Partnership for Food for Life that's here every Monday. White Gift Sunday celebrates the stewardship of God's love and giving at a time of year when we remember the coming of the King of Kings. So, I'd ask that we now bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, you are the giver of all gifts. You know each and every need, and you hear each and every prayer. We come today with these gifts here under the tree. Some are down in the basket at the doors, and also these gifts of the poinsettias. We give them in Christ's spirit of love and of justice and of doing active things to help those in need. So bless and use these things, Lord. Use them to bring some joy and some practical help in people's lives. Help them to see that this is coming from you, a blessing from God at a time when people often are really needy. Use our lives, Lord, for the building of your kingdom of the world. And we pray all of this and offer all these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. We join together now in our children's hymn, number 372, Praise Him, Praise Him. And we'll have the children come up during verse 2, and I'm going to ask the boys and girls to sit on the chairs over here at the front when we do that. 372, Praise Him, Praise Him. Very excited group of boys and girls all came up here right away this morning. So, and we ran out of some chairs, but we got lots of space for everybody. Boys and girls, we have over here, I wanted you on this side because over here we have all the white gifts and They've been brought in by all the people in our church, and we're so happy that they've done that because all of these things will be used later as we give out food during the week. Now, there's one thing we have to, that's very important. When you go shopping to get this kind of stuff, it's important that when, especially when you buy a can, like get a can of something. Let's just see if I can find one here. Here's one here. And this one's what is this? What's in here? Any idea? How can you tell what's in here? Yeah. Well, how do you know it's soup? There's a picture of it right there. Yeah. It says soup in words too, but there's a picture of it. If you went in the store and picked up a can like this, what's in here? No, there's something in there. You can hear it. It's not nothing. There's something in there. Yeah. So, what is this, dessert maybe? Is it fruit? Is it, I'm not going to open it. Because I know what's in here. And it ran out of time last month. But we all have to have labels on things so we know what they are. Otherwise, it would be just guessing by golly, as they say. And you wouldn't know what to pick with the right thing. So what helps us is labels. I have some on me. I have this sort of tells you who I am, tells you that I'm a Christian person. And over here, I got a new one this week. This one here. See? There's some people. It's hard to see way at the back, but it's as I often say, it's the flag I was born under. It's my version of the Canadian flag. See? It's a Union Jack, actually. It's a British thing. And I got that this week. That says something important to me. I also could have a tag on me that says I'm a minister. And lots of people in our church, I don't see lots of them this morning necessarily. I see some people holding their tags up. It says who they are. When I was working before, I had my own office. And everybody knew it was my office because I had my name on the door. And I would take this off. You can see it's been taken off a lot because I would put it on chairs. And people would, I would say, that's my chair. And they'd say, are you sure that's your chair? Is your name on it? Yeah. Yes, it is, actually. It worked about that long, too, as far as a gag goes. Some people put this sign up at this time of year. Can anybody read that? Any of you? Jesus is the reason for the season. Very good. Do you know what that means? Any idea? It means Jesus is why we're here for Christmas and Advent, that Jesus is coming and he's going to be born. And the story that we're going to read with the adults later on is talking about John the Baptist, and he made an announcement so that people could know what was coming. And he could say very clearly, this can is soup, and you don't even know what this one is. But he was telling people that Jesus is coming, and he was going to change the world and change all of our hearts. So, with this week, I want you to work with your grown-ups, and I want you to see if you think there's something you can do that might help somebody else, the same way that we've helped some people here today. Okay? Let's bow our heads and say a prayer all together. You repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for Christmas. Help us to help others. Help us to be kind. We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. We'll sing the last verse of our hymn again, and everybody can head out to Sunday school. As we prepare to hear God's word read to us today, let us bow our heads in prayer. Holy Word, you are our guide. You are our ultimate assurance. We praise you for all of this. So by your Holy Spirit, open us up to your promises, your commands, and shower us again with that fire of your love through your word. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our responsive psalm today is Psalm 146. And 146 begins the fifth book of Psalms. Psalms is broken traditionally into five sections. And book five begins with praise and ends with praise. And hallelujah would be a good replacement for the first opening phrase, with praise God, if we were to translate it. Book five is a majority of the Psalms in this particular section, more than half, are all about praise and thanking God for all the things that God has done. Now, just to give you some more background to that, I want us to just remember that the book of Psalms is not just a haphazard collection of hymns. It's actually put together in those five books for a reason. It tells a story. The first book is about David's reign, and it continues through the divided monarchy and the destruction of the kingdoms in books 2 and 3, and then into the Babylonian exile in book 4. And book 5, this one that we're beginning to read today, talks about the return from the exile and rebuilding of the temple. No wonder the people were happy and joyful and full of praise. Let's read this as we anticipate Christmas coming in Advent 3, Psalm 146.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord lifts up those who bow down. The Lord watches over the strangers and upholds the orphan and the widow. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. That's page 877 in your pew Bibles. And I'd like you to try to turn that up, because we don't often read from the book of Zephaniah. And I'm so pleased that we do follow the lectionary suggested readings most weeks here, because it gets us into some of these minor prophets that normally we wouldn't take a look at. So Zephaniah 3, page 877, beginning at verse 14. Zephaniah is a prophet, obviously, in the group of minor prophets they are considered. His name means concealed of the Lord, or the Lord waits for him in hiding. Zephaniah spoke after the split kingdom and at the time of Josiah, king of Judah. It's a very short book, but it has a lot to say, and it talks about the coming judgment of God, the great day of God, the judgment on Israel's enemies, the wickedness that is rising up in Jerusalem, and the punishment and conversion of the nations. And it closes with what we're reading today, titled The Song of Joy. And it is here because we want to know where we've been and where we're going. And this is kind of what Zephaniah is prophesying and talking about, that sometimes we need to remember where we've been in order to grab onto the joy of the Lord in our present day. Zephaniah 3, beginning at verse 14. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing on, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Our New Testament reading is in a small book of Philippians, chapter 4. It's on page 198 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. This is the third Sunday in Advent, and as we've done here, many churches light a pink candle symbolizing joy. And this is one of the great passages talking about rejoicing and joy, where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Do not worry about anything. Experience the peace that passes all understanding." Philippians, as a church, are very dear to Paul. This is considered a friendship kind of a letter, one that's trying to hold them up. There's lots of challenges going on in this particular church, and just like we have today, Paul is trying to encourage and let us know that, especially in this time of Advent for us right now, that we can look forward with joy and singing and great gladness because Christ is coming. And that is a joy that can withstand anything. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. We read from this previous chapters last week. So we're talking about John the Baptist in particular, and a good time for Advent to be talking about John, because John was talking about something wonderful that was coming, particularly Christ. And Advent is that same sense. Christ is coming. We are looking in this particular reading of John's preaching. He's already talked about preparing the way and the joyfulness that's there. And he's talking to three different groups, two in particular, tax collectors and soldiers. Now, the tax collectors and soldiers in that time were almost, well, the soldiers certainly were working as kind of law enforcement or security staff, but both the tax collectors and soldiers were paid by a percentage of the monies that they tended to collect from people, sometimes illegally. Judea was in the province of Syria, and that meant every person was to pay 1% of their annual income as income tax, but that wasn't all. There was also import and export taxes for anything that was produced, crop taxes. This listing here, that 1% of everything you grew had to be given over to the government. 1/5 of any wine, fruit, or olive oil you produced had to be given over to the government. There was sales tax, there was property tax, emergency tax, so much like today. But the tax collectors were usually Jewish, and they were hated by their own people because here there were people of their own faith working for the government that was in occupation in their land. So they were considered terrible people, and in many cases they could be because they could make as much as they want depending on how much they could actually get from everybody. John, in this particular reading, is talking to them and telling them, stop doing what you normally do. Do what is right. And in that sense, you can be preparing the way for Jesus who is coming. Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "But what should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" And he replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. This is the word of God. We'll sing now hymn number 122, but it's got lots of verses, so we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 6. O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, verses 1, 2, and 5. Pardon me, yes. 1, 2, and 5. A man walked by a table in a hotel and noticed three men and a dog playing cards. The dog appeared to be winning. "That must be a very smart dog," the man commented. "Oh, he ain't so smart," said one of the players. "Every time he gets a good hand, he wags his tail." When we have joy in our hearts, it will be obvious to everyone. Proverbs says, "A joyful heart makes a cheerful face." Today is the third Sunday in Advent, joy. God's promise of joy. In the case it hasn't been clear, we've been talking about God's promises over the last 2 weeks, and today's God's promise is that of joy. From the Psalms to Zephaniah to the church in Philippi to John the Baptist, today we'll be examining God's joy and the coming promise we look forward to in the weeks coming. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God of promise, speak to us this morning about your continuing promises and specifically the promise of joy. Help us as we work through Advent and build on that anticipation of Christmas, of Christ coming. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my mind be acceptable before you and your people this day. Holy Spirit, move in our minds and hearts with that special word you have for each of us this day. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 146 says, praise the Lord, O my soul. Zephaniah 3 says, rejoice and exult with all your heart. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will rejoice. The word rejoice is a word we hear lots of times in the church. And we sing it and we quote it in that song that I like to sing from back in the 70s, Rejoice in the Lord Always, and again I say rejoice. We sing it, we say it, we pray it, but I don't know that we always particularly understand what that word means, that the demand that it's making, especially in the context of Advent. I always like when I'm trying to break a word apart. We say these words so often, but we don't always think about them. So sometimes a good place to start, go to the dictionary, see what it has to say just to get the ball rolling. And to start with, rejoice and is an action word, it's a verb. And the dictionary says it means to feel or show great joy or delight. It's a very active and action-sourced word. It's not just a me word, though. It's something like something I do. It's also an us action word, because the dictionary goes on to say it means to cause joy. The origin of that word comes from Middle English, to cause joy. And in the older French, we think about rejoie, experiencing again with force joy. So it really does make some sense when we look at that. The word rejoice becomes simply the word joy. Or as the older meanings show us, we are joying again, and again we are rejoicing. Exactly what Philippians says, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Well, that gives us some understanding of what that means, but the root of it really is joy. And again, that three-letter word we say so often, and it's sometimes hard to maybe sit back and, maybe intellectually I suppose, but just kind of think about what that word really means. So maybe the dog in our opening story there, playing cards, gives us a bit of a clue. The dog's problem was that every time he had a good hand at cards, he'd wag his tail. Now, if you've ever been around a dog for more than a couple of minutes, I'm sure you've seen them wagging their tails. Especially heartwarming to see a dog look at their person or their owner and just sit there looking at them with their tail just going. And they're just kind of, there's a joy that's going on inside their head somewhat. It's an expression of that. And in my house, if I say the word walk, we can see all kinds of acts of rejoicing as our dogs jump up and down and run back and forth. And sometimes as they run over and grab their leashes, we have two big dogs. They go get their leashes and bring them over to us and sit down with their tails going. They're pretty happy. They're pretty rejoiceful, I would say. It's so bad at our house, we can't even spell the word W-A-L-K. The dogs know that word. So we've been trying to spell it backwards, K-L-A-W, and they got onto that pretty quickly, too. So we have to come up with code words that we change, almost like as if we're some sort of, thing, because they learn them pretty fast. Dogs show so much in their physical demeanor to let us know what they're thinking, especially when it comes to W-A-L-Ks. But is that real joy? Well, again, we can turn to the dictionary and we talk about joy. And joy, according to the dictionary, says it's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And our dogs certainly let us know that they're feeling a great sense of pleasure and happiness, even with the thought of going for a W-A-L-K. But Paul is telling us something that I think can be pretty difficult to maintain. He says, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. So is God telling us in the book of Philippians to experience a great feeling of pleasure and joy always? It sounds pretty difficult maybe to maintain that. I don't think my dogs could even maintain that level of excitement as they run around. They get pretty pooped out. Well, today we lit a pink candle of all the purple ones. We lit a pink one today. And pink typically represents joy. In the earliest years of the church, the only church season that was celebrated was Lent, just prior to Easter. So Lent and Easter being one sort of holiday, so to speak, were the only ones, because back in Scotland, all the Presbyterians said no more Christmas, so banning that at one point. So the only thing that they could celebrate was Easter and put the focus on Christ's death and resurrection. Lent was a season of fasting and prayers. The church commemorated that crucifixion of Christ, the sacrifice he made, and the traditional colors of the banners of the church during that time would have been deep purple, represented in our other candles here. And they signify royalty and repentance and suffering. During Lent, the church is lit with seven candles often, and one for each week in the solemn season. And however solemn the season, the story of Lent also has a twinge of hope and joy, since the death of Christ is got this the sense of his resurrection. That's what it's really pointing to. So on the third Sunday of Lent, the church was encouraged not to fast, but to feast. In ancient times, on this particular Sunday, the priests and ministers wore pink vestments instead of the normal purple that it would wear, just to say that there's a coming joy. When the season of Advent was reinstituted into the church, it was viewed kind of really as a mini Lent. The 4 weeks that we celebrate Advent were kind of a time for us to fast and pray and reflect on what God was doing. And the church adopted 4 candles of Lent, one for each of the week, and used pink in the same way that Lent was structured, so that we have a pink candle on our Advent wreaths to help us remember the joy and happiness that God gives us. We've got the 4 words that we've been working with, today being joy, of course. Our joy in Advent is the pleasure and happiness that we experience in the thought that soon, very soon, we will be celebrating the birth of Jesus and the promise that God is giving in Jesus' birth of reconnection to God through His Son. Today we are encouraged by all of our readings to rejoice, to joy and rejoy as we anticipate that promise that God has for us in the incarnation of Christ. The whole point of Christmas, as we understand it, is that the birth of God who became flesh, that's incarnation. God who put together a plan to reconnect us that goes all the way back to the garden. We were cast out in the garden and we lost that connection that we had with God. And God had a plan. And His Son was born, becoming flesh just like us on this earth. And then at Easter, to die and rise again, to build that bridge back one more time. So as we continue to think on the nature of God and God's promise that He has built all into this joyful event that's taking place, we can remember that God has made a promise at this time, a promise through Christ, signified at this point in His birth. God is a God of promises, a God of covenant. We can turn to Psalm 89 and see this. It says, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back one word of what I have said. Scripture is full of God's promises to us. The biggest promise we have, of course, is through Christ. John the Baptist is telling us to prepare for the coming of the Lord. He's telling us to make our lives right and to repent. And in the Bible, that word repent means to change your mind. You're not going to do this anymore. I'm going to go and do that. I'm never going to go and do this. I'm going to go and do that. Repenting. A word we don't like to hear often, especially in our modern world, because we have all kinds of baggage sitting around that. But essentially, I'm not going to do this. I'm now going to do that. That's all repent is. Tough to do. Maybe easy to understand. Today we are to be joyful. We are to rejoice again and again. And one way possibly to rejoice is to think of the many things that God has blessed us with in the past, even if our present moment doesn't seem very joyful. We can recall the times of joy in our life. Like when my dogs rejoice when I say the word walk, it's not because they're particularly experiencing a fun walk right this moment. They remember what all the good walks were like before, and they know what's coming down the way, and they get excited. And that same excitement can be with us, even when moments when things don't always seem so great. Boy, when God worked before, it was powerful and moving. God's going to do that again. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming very soon. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Rejoice and exult with all your heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And as we think of that rejoiceful moment of Jesus' return, and we want to understand what that can maybe look like, I like to think of that humorous prayer of the dog looking lovingly at its owner and thinks in its mind, Dear Lord, please make me the kind of person my dog thinks I am. Amen. Let us bring our offerings now to the Lord. With thanksgiving that God provides more than enough for all, and let us give joyfully and rejoicefully as each is able to benefit Christ's church and God's world. God, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us, and we also thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have to give back. We ask that you will bless this tithe and the offerings of food and the poinsettias and our time, Lord, that they can be used to your glory and to help those in need in the ministries that go on from this building. Lord, we thank you and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. This is our opportunity to be praying for our community and our world, and we think in particularly of two, there's lots of people I know, but it's two in particular. Gord Fielding's mother passed away late this week, and she was 94, I believe, and took ill quite suddenly, and they just got back from visiting with her, so they headed back home Thursday to be there for that. We also ask for prayers for David Bourne, who's been in hospital now for a week. And I know we've mentioned him a couple of times. Some of you will remember David. He is a gentleman who's in the wheelchair and hasn't been for a while because it's just scheduling for him to get here has been difficult. We did do a video of him reading for Remembrance Day. And so David is very much still part of our congregation here. And he's had pneumonia and some bed sores and a couple of infections. And they're just really trying to deal with all of that. So we do want to keep him in mind. I know that we'll have an opportunity to have silent prayer for all of you to offer up people in your own minds. Let's bow our heads. Lord of life, you call us to prepare the way for your reign by bearing fruit worthy of repentance, just as John was talking about in the Gospel of Luke. You lift up a vision before us of a world that is intended to be shared and fair. Very often it's not. So Lord, we do pray for our world. We pray, Lord, that all these things that are happening throughout, where people are being mistreated, we hear stories of refugees from all different kinds of countries all around our world being chased out of their own homes. Lord, we pray that you can intervene, help us to do what we can, to not help just refugees, but all sorts of people that are, governments are being unfair and the politics that are above them are just pushing them all around. Lord, we pray that you can be with the people in our community here. We hear lots of stories about needs all around the world, and it's great, Lord, that we are responding as a nation as well as communities. But in our own communities, Lord, there are people who are homeless, there are people who are hungry, there are people who need jobs, there are people who are having problems in their families. And so, Lord, we pray that you can intervene and be in their midst and call us to whatever we can do to help. Help them to sense that joy. Help them to sense a joy at this particular time of year. Lord, we also pray for folks who this time of year is not always very joyful. When we watch ads on television or on radio or in our newspapers, that you hear the phrase very often, this is the time for family. And there are many, Lord, who are missing family, who may have had a family member pass away recently or may have children and others that there's an argument going on and they're not going to be getting together. And just to be reminded all the time that this is the time for family. Give them that joy and peace that they need. Help someone to move in their life, to reach out. And if that's us, Lord, help us to do that. Lord, right now in silence, we hold up to you those people in our lives who are ill or are feeling lonely or dealing with some issue in their life. We hold those names up to you now. And as we've read in the book of Philippians today, God, we can surely trust you and not be afraid. So lead us in songs of praise and shouts of joy, for you are in our midst, and Jesus is coming. Christmas reminds us of that. Lord, we pray this through the one who baptizes us not only with water, but with the Holy Spirit, Jesus, now and forever. Amen. We're joined together now in our final hymn this morning, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord, I Go. This is our challenge this week. to go in God's name, rejoicing and joyfully. 652. The pink candle of joy today. We want to go forth in joy and show joy in all that we do. And so may the joy and peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ, for whom we watch and we wait. And just at this time, I'd also, as we're concluding our service, I want to remind everybody that next Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock, we'll be having what we call our longest night or Blue Christmas service here. And it's a time for us to remember those who have passed away in our lives, or it's a time for those who find this particular time of year a little bit difficult. We darken the church, and we have some singing and some scripture readings, and I know the people who've been here in the past have quite enjoyed this as an opportunity to light a candle, which we do, and to hear the names of those read who passed away recently. So I just encourage you to try to come to that, and if you can't, to be praying for them. So again, God bless. God keep us, and God be with us.